God's word, and if you want to read with me the Bible, it's Acts chapter 2, and the end of the chapter, starting, where shall we start? Starting from just from verse 42. Okay, it talks about the believers' former community in here. So it says, I'll give you a chance to find that, but it's Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and we'll read to the end of the chapter, verse 47. And it says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper. That's put a little bit differently than in most Bibles, or the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Fantastic. So this morning's message is actually we're not gonna finish today. We'll be continuing next week because we've picked up on such a picking up on a big subject. But I want to talk about devoting ourselves. There was a story about a man called Mark Knutson who was diagnosed back in 1993 with an incredibly aggressive form of cancer. And he was already in the late stages and only given a short time to live. But his biggest worry was who was going to look after his family, particularly during that ordeal when it would obviously be upsetting and emotional. Who was going to come round and give love and support and help, and indeed in the weeks and months and time following his death as well. But by September 19th of that same year, he found his worries had been taken care of because the family heard a noise outside, and as they opened the window, they saw that the street was filled with their Christian friends from their church, and they were completely encircling the house, and they joined hands and they prayed for Mark and his family to let them know that they were loved. Now, he was too ill to receive visitors at this point, but that show of love continued. The Christians continued their public display of love through the next 6 weeks, and during that time not a day went by when someone, if it was only just a couple of people, sometimes it was as many as 20 people, were stood outside that house at some point or other praying and showing their love. And because they couldn't receive any visits, they kept a register by the back door so that Mark would know who had been there. But these Christians, they did more than just pray. Many faithfully sent cards of encouragement. Some helped with transport and other needs with the children. And the family said, we felt a hedge of love encircling our home. Eventually, Mark lost the battle to cancer and passed away, but did so knowing that his family was loved and cared for and taken care of. And I want to welcome you again to our first service of 2020. It's great to have you here. That story that I've just shared and the Bible passage that I preached before paints a picture for us of churches that were prepared to go above and beyond. It's the kind of church I'm sure we would say we want to be part of. We would love to be in a church like that. What we've got to recognize and remember, of course, is in order for us to be in a church like that, we have work to do. We can't just turn up and say, oh, look, we're in this wonderful church. Each of us has a part to play in building that kind of church, creating that kind of church, forging that kind of church. Because the thing that makes a church like that is each one of us contributing to that process, to that purpose. One word, as I say, jumps out for us this morning, and that is devoted. It's a great word. And I want to set a tone for our coming year this morning and next week by for us to be a devoted people. A people that are devoted to God, to each other, to our community, and to the world. And I'm sure there you recognize a reference to our church tagline that you find on our logo. And that was deliberate. And our values also reflect this. Our values of worship, prayer, and devotion. There's that word again. Of family, serving, mission, and evangelism. Throughout this current year, you will find that quite a bit of our preaching is going to refer to those values in some way or another as we seek to reinforce and reinform ourselves of them throughout the coming year. So, but here we are with devotion. Devotion or devoted? What does it mean? What is devoted? Well, if we went to an English dictionary, we would find a number of definitions. We would see that it says very loyal or loving. The comment would be he was a devoted husband. It would give us potentially give us a number of sort of alternative words that would help us, such as loyal, faithful, true, staunch, steadfast, constant, committed, dedicated, devout, fond, loving, admiring, affectionate, caring, attentive, warm, and ardent. There's also a second definition that would say that it's about being devoted to a particular task, given over to the display, study, or discussion of. So again, a phrase that might come out of a dictionary would be, there is a museum devoted to a particular person's work. Okay, that's what that museum is about. That's what it does simply. So already we can see some helpful things. Talking about loyalty, talking about making priorities. But at the same time, when we read the Bible, we need to remember that the Bible wasn't actually written in English. The Bible was written in Hebrew in the case of the Old Testament and Greek in the case of the New Testament. And so So an English dictionary is, we can only be certain that it's so helpful. What does that Greek word that in this verse that we translate devoted or devoted themselves actually mean? Well, the word is proskatoraunos or autos, which means devoted themselves. And it appears actually 10 times in the New Testament. Let me very quickly go through them and it'll create for us a picture of what this word means. The first time we come across it is in Mark chapter 3, verse 9, where Jesus tells his disciples to get a boat ready for him. So, one version says that a boat should stand ready for him. Another one should, a small ship should wait on him. Another says a boat might wait upon him on account of. So it carries the idea of being ready. Carries the idea of standing guard, almost, of being on duty, of serving. All of those ideas carried within the idea of devotion. Then the next one, most of them are in Acts. The next one is in Acts chapter 1, verse 14, where it says, they all joined themselves constantly in prayer. Another version says, were continually devoting themselves to prayer. Another one says, all steadfastly continuing with one accord. I want you to notice those words, continually, constantly, steadfastly. There is a consistency that's talked about here. It's staying devoted. Olivia Newton-John sang a song in the film Grease, hopelessly devoted to you. Let me read some of the words to you. Just not no getting over you. You know I'm just a fool who's willing to sit around and wait for you. But baby, can't you see? There's nothing else for me to do. I'm hopelessly devoted to you. But now there's no way to hide since you pushed my love aside. I'm out of my head, hopelessly devoted to you. My head is saying, fool, forget him. My heart is saying, don't let go. Hold on to the end. That's what I intend to do. I'm hopelessly devoted to you. But now there's no way to hide since you push my love aside. I'm out of my head, hopelessly devoted to you. Now, personally, I have to say I'm not a big Grease fan. Not particularly enamored with some of the values that it teaches, but maybe that's a soapbox for another time. Who knows? But this song describes a devotion that this person has for another person, for a boyfriend. They believe it's a girl that's singing. And no matter what happens, this girl is going to be devoted to this guy. Even when it appears that actually she's been treated quite badly. But there's a kind of an unending devotion, something that's going to last, something that's going to stick. Then Acts chapter 2, verse 42, which is our passage, they were, some of the passages say they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, etc. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' teaching, etc. They were moreover steadfastly continuing in the teaching. Then jump to 2:46. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. It talks day by day, continuing with one mind. And they continuing daily. And they steadfastly continuing with one accord. Carries all of those ideas as well. Then jump to Acts chapter 6. Verse 4, where there's been a problem with the feeding of widows, the provision of food for widows, and there have been some complaints. And so the apostles say, let's appoint 7 people to take care of this job. And it says, and we will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. One version says, we will devote ourselves to prayer and the ministry of word. Another, the King James Version says, we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word. Another says, steadfastly continue again. Then Acts chapter 13, we have the conversion of a guy that we've become known as Simon the Sorcerer, who listened to Philip preaching the gospel, and he becomes a Christian. And basically, he then starts following Philip around everywhere. That's what one of the versions say. He followed Philip everywhere. Another one says he continued on with Philip. Another one says after being baptized, was steadfastly continuing with Philip. This we see a 100% no holding back on Simon's part. He wanted to be there all the time. He followed Philip around wherever he happened to go. Although we discover as we read that particular chapter and that particular story about Simon that maybe it wasn't necessarily for the right reasons. Who knows? There's just a 4 more to go. Acts chapter 10, verse 7. Cornelius has a dream, has a vision, and sends for Peter to come and explain the gospel to him. And he sends those who were his personal attendants, it says, those who were with him continually, those who were continually waiting on him. Cornelius calls 2 of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. Carries that idea of faithful service again. Another thing that carries this idea of faithfulness is Romans chapter 12, verse 12 uses the same word to talk about being faithful in prayer, devoted to prayer, continually, constantly in prayer. So devotion is linked to and comes from faithfulness. Are you all with me so far? Say yes, Pete. We're nearly done with this list, but can you begin to see already the wealth that's included in that word that we're seeing in its different uses? Romans chapter 13, verse 6 talks about paying taxes to the authorities who are God's servants because they give their full time to governing, devoting themselves, attending continually to it. Talking about prioritizing and putting things first or even being set apart for particular things. And then finally, Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, talking about prayer again, uses the word to say, devote yourself to prayer, continue in prayer, steadfastly continue in prayer and watching. So we begin to get an understanding of what is being said here. To be devoted is to continually, steadfastly, and attend constantly, persist and persevere in a loyal and prioritized commitment. It involves readiness. It involves accepting inconvenience. It involves in order to align ourselves as much as possible to the goal. It sounds quite full on, doesn't it? In reality, of course, it probably looks different for different people. You give what you can. You devote yourself to the best of your ability. And it certainly does look different. We were having a little joke yesterday. We had a family gathering and we had a little joke yesterday. And somebody says, "Oh, you're a Southampton fan, aren't you, Pete? Football fan." To be honest, I probably couldn't tell you when they were playing. So I'm not sure that I'm really that good of a football fan. I'm not like my mate Steve back in Southampton. Okay, he was a Southampton fan. Never missed a match. He'd go to the matches, and if he couldn't get to the matches, he'd be watching the matches. Made every effort to follow the teams, could tell you anything about it. And this perhaps will best sum up just how completely devoted he was to Southampton football team. He was one of my youth leaders, okay, in our youth group back in Southampton. And we used to run a youth camp with another church from Portsmouth. Now, if you know anything about it, you'll know that Southampton and Portsmouth, they are the two arch rivals in terms of football teams. So, but we ran this camp with a youth group from Portsmouth, with my sister church, we got on really well, all of us as a team, and with the kids, and the kids got on really well. It was great, and we ran the camp for about 10 years, and Steve was involved for many years of that. Got on really well with the different with the kids and the different team members from Portsmouth, so much so that they asked him to go to, you might well have heard of Soul Survivor. This is a big Christian festival. They asked him to go with them as an extra team member to Soul Survivor. And they said, "We'd love you to go to Soul Survivor." And the way they do it is we'll be camping with all of the other Portsmouth churches and youth groups that are going. We'll all be in one big group together. Okay. So Steve says, "That's brilliant. That's okay." And a couple of days later, Steve's wife, Ruth, says to him, "I think you better buy some more clothes." And he says, "What do you mean, better buy some more clothes?" "Well, I've been going through your T-shirts and your tops, and you don't seem to have anything that doesn't have a Southampton emblem on it." And if you're going to be camping in the middle of a whole load of Portsmouth people, you don't know quite what might happen. So I think you better just kind of run the risk of not offending. You better go and buy some more tops and more T-shirts. Well, you can tell you a little bit of how devoted Steve was to Southampton football team. And this is what devotion looks like. It might feel like an ideal, but it's certainly something to seriously aim for. But to be devoted is one thing, but devoted to what? Well, first of all, devoted to what? Well, the obvious answer to that is devoted to God, devoted to Jesus. We are first of all devoted to Jesus. Whatever else we might be devoted to needs to be an expression in the very first place of our devotion to him. Otherwise, it misses the whole point. No good being devoted to church if our purpose for being devoted to church is not to be devoted to Jesus, devoted to God. He must come first. He must be the ultimate goal in everything that we do and everything we say. So our first devotion above all things must be to God, who is devoted to us, of course. Someone made this somewhat challenging statement. How would you feel if God gave the same amount of time and attention that we devote to him? If God put as many things ahead of us as we put ahead of him? If God offered as many excuses as we do, and if the excuses were no more justifiable than ours? If God's promises were no more certain than ours? If God withheld his blessings from us as we withhold our offerings from him. That's quite challenging, isn't it? But I can remember speaking to, again, my youth group back in Southampton one time, and I challenged them, and I said I asked them whether they could honestly say that they would put God in front of anything else in their lives. And I have to say that many of them were very honest, but tended to say no. That's why, you see, we have to constantly remind ourselves of how completely devoted God is to us. If we can understand and if we can recognize that God is totally devoted to us, then we stand a chance of being devoted to him. And God is completely devoted to us, clearly shown in Jesus giving up his life on the cross for us. There's a story about German Christians who had the courage during the Hitler years to oppose Hitler. When so many others went along or simply kept silent, there were a few courageous handful of people who would not go along with the majority. And they were asked the question, what was it? Why did you say no when so many other people said yes? And the answer was simply the first commandment: have no other gods but me. Put nothing else before God. For them, that made the difference. When you have that first commandment and you take it seriously as a way of life, you have the courage to stand against the crowd. But it comes in the first place from recognizing how completely committed, how completely devoted God is to each one of us. How much he has been prepared to give for each one of us. But in devotion to God, there are other things that the Bible also points to as objects of devotion. They're listed in that verse 42. The apostles' doctrine, the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. We're not going to get through them all today. We'll carry on next week, but let's talk about the first one. But first introduce a little bit. These are the things that Acts chapter 2 verse 42 tells us the early church devoted themselves to. It's an interesting point that very often the areas that we struggle with, the areas where we sometimes find ourselves unwilling perhaps to commit ourselves to, are the very things that the early church devoted themselves to. And the following, and so Acts chapter 2 verse 42 lists those four things, and then the following verses describes what it looked like in practice for them. And what they mean, but what do they mean for us? Well, there's an old kids song, I don't know if you've heard it before. It says, I'm going to say my prayers, read my Bible every morning, going to get some fellowship, witness every day. Anybody heard that before? Oh, my wife put her hand up. She's moved in the same circles as me, clearly. It's very interesting that that's actually the standard level advice given very often when people first become Christians and they want to know what to do next. Well, we tell them, well, get into your Bible, talk to God, get into a local church, have some fellowship and pray and tell other people about him. It's the standard advice all in that little song. And it's very much linked to what the early Christians in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, devoted themselves to. So very quickly, let's look at the apostles' teaching. What is that? Well, quite obviously, the apostles' teaching is the teaching that the apostles gave to the church. Quite obvious, isn't it? And that teaching they had already received from Jesus himself. And we now find it in the pages of the New Testament. So along with Acts of the Apostles itself and Revelation and the Old Testament, it makes up our Bible. So, simply put, they devoted themselves to the learning and the studying and the reading of the Scriptures. We read in verse 46 that every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. This is where the apostles were. The apostles went there every day and they taught. So for the thousands of new followers, in order to get teaching, they needed to go to where the apostles were. So the apostles went every day to the temple courts and they taught. so that the people could go and they could receive that teaching. Now, for many of them, that was the only way that they were going to hear the words of Jesus or hear what the scripture says. They didn't have the words of Jesus in print. Printing hadn't been invented. Everything was copied out by hand. So there were very few copies of what Jesus said or even of the Old Testament scriptures. So their best way of hearing it, even if they could read, they might not have a copy. So the best way that they had to read it was to actually go to listen to the apostles, go and listen to the scriptures read. Now, we have the Bible for ourselves. Most of us have probably got one or two copies. Or if we haven't, we can get hold of it online, on various websites. We can be devoted to reading and studying it for ourselves. There is a wealth of books, articles, print published sermons out there that can help us, as well as a whole host of stuff that's online that you can access to help explain the scripture. Some of it might be complete rubbish, but a lot of it is really, really good. And there's you can tune into your TV and watch TV channels where people are teaching the Bible. There has never been a time before where we've got so much help in terms of our own study and understanding and learning of the Bible. As the little song goes, read my Bible every morning, although of course there's no rule to say that it has to happen in the morning. At the same time, just because we can read and study for ourselves doesn't negate the need to come to church, to be part of a house group, or any of those kind of things as well. I remember when I first came to the church, I went to see somebody. I won't mention names, but I was challenging that person. I said, inviting them to come to church more. And they said to me, well, I don't need to come to church because I've got my word for today. So I can get my word because I can read my word for today. Well, listen, reading the word for today, studying, reading the Bible, that's great. I've just spent some time saying that, haven't I? But it's also no substitute for coming and sitting under the word of God when it's preached and when it's taught. It's no substitute for studying with others. Just listening to preaching is no just as listening to preaching is no substitute for reading and studying it for yourself. You need both things together, and we need devotion to both things together. The challenge that we could ask ourselves is, how many days go by between the times when we pick up the Bible? Sure, it can be hard to understand. Sure, time is precious. But this principle was something that the early Christians devoted themselves to. And of course, the Bible is a powerful, powerful thing. Let me tell you a story. You've heard of the Mutiny on the Bounty, famous Mutiny on the Bounty, perhaps. Following the rebellion against the notorious Captain Bligh, 9 mutineers, along with men from the tropical island and the women that accompanied them, found their way to Pitcairn Island, a tiny dot in the South Pacific, only 2 miles long and a mile wide. 10 years later, drink and fighting had left only one man alive, by the name of John Adams. 11 women and 23 children made up the rest of the island's population. So far, this story is familiar, made famous in the book and the movie. But the rest of the story is even more remarkable. About this time, Adams came across the Bounty's Bible in the bottom of an old chest, and he began to read it. And the divine power of God's word reached into his heart on that tiny little island and changed his life forever. The peace and the love that Adams found in the Bible completely replaced his old life of quarreling, fighting, and drinking. He began to teach the children from the Bible until every person on the island had experienced the same amazing change that he had found. 20 years ago, with a population of slightly less than 100 people, nearly every one of them on the island was a Christian. Don't know now because I haven't got the latest information. But let's be devoted to the apostles' teaching. Let's be devoted to learning what the Bible says, discovering what the Bible says, making the Bible a part of our daily lives that will change our hearts. Let's not do it out of a sense of obligation. God help us that we do any of these things out of a sense of guilt or out of a sense of pressure or because the pastor says so, but because it's God's living word. And when we devote ourselves to it, it sets us free and it brings hope and life and purpose to our lives. Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And we'll continue with this message next week. But let's become a people that are devoted. Devoted to God, who is so devoted to us. Amen. We've got time just to worship together again and to take up our offering. If you're visiting with us,